What's up, everybody? You are listening to the Fantasy Oddballs Football Podcast. I am your host, Ryan McNichols, joined by my co-host, Rich Houck, and our producer, Mike Coyle. We are talking everything dynasty and season-long fantasy football. We dig through all the numbers so that you don't have to. What's up, everybody? Thanks for joining us today. Ryan McNichols here, host of the Fantasy Oddballs Football Podcast. Today is Thursday, April 18th. We are exactly 1 week away from the NFL Draft. Show has been on a hiatus for a little while. We are going to pick things back up here with the NFL Draft just around the corner. And it is just going to be me today moving forward for a little bit. That's probably going to be the norm until we can get some new things established. We are going to be reviewing the upcoming rookie class. We are going to be starting with wide receivers and then moving into running back and tight ends. We are going to do this for the pre-draft process, kind of go through these players, get a feel for them without them, you know, having been assigned to a team. And then after the NFL draft, we will reevaluate, see who kind of moves up a little bit, who moves down a little bit, if there's any, you know, drastic changes to any rankings due to the NFL draft capital. But we are going to get into it today. We are going to start off with the wide receiver class. We are going to go through about five wide receivers today. We're going to do a little mix. We are not just going to start with the guys at the top and then kind of work our way down. So the way that we split this up is essentially going to kind of view these wide receivers by players of similar body type. Kind of keep them around the same size, kind of view the pros and cons of them, see where they kind of fit in at the NFL level. So with that being said, you know, this wide receiver class is much different than last year's wide receiver class. We are going to start off with the smaller guys for this wide receiver class who are essentially as big as the biggest guys from last year's wide receiver class. We are going to start today going through Malik Nabers, Xavier Worthy, Malachi Corley, Ladd McConkey, Jermaine Burton, and Roman Wilson. So, again, thanks for tuning into us, and let's hop into it. We are going to start at the top here with LSU's Malik Nabers, one of the top three consensus wide receivers in this upcoming NFL draft. Malik Nabers did not do any testing at the combine. He opted to do all of his testing at the LSU Pro Day. Measured in at 6 foot even, 199 pounds. At his Pro Day, he ran a 40 time, which, you know, the time varies depending on who you asked, depending on who was timing it. Consensus seems to be was somewhere around the 4.35 range, if not maybe a little bit higher as far as like go to into a 4.42, somewhere in that range. Also had a 42-inch vertical jump and a 10-foot 9-inch broad jump at his, again, at the LSU Pro Day. 3-year player at LSU, 400 yards in his freshman season, 1,000 yards as a sophomore, and then 1,500 yards last year to go along with 14 touchdowns. Profiles as a wide receiver one at the NFL level. Like you said, he's got the speed, relatively a 4.35 40-yard dash time. He's got the explosiveness, as you can see in his jumps. When you watch a tape, I really liked Malik Nabers' tape. I do think that he is up there, you know, competing close to Marvin Harrison Jr. I think they are different styles of player, and so as far as which one you want, it would be entirely dependent on coaching staff and scheme. I do still give the edge over to Marvin Harrison, but I really did like Malik Nabers' tape, and I felt that maybe he, at the NFL level, might end up being a little bit more, if he were to hit a ceiling, would be a little bit higher than Marvin Harrison's ceiling. We'll get into why a little bit later after we've gone through all the wide receiver prospects. But as far as Malik Nabers go, I mean, this guy, I thought he was explosive when I watched the tape. You know, he's got good hands, you know, he doesn't really do a whole lot of body catching. He always, you know, is snatching the ball out of the air. He's always making moves. This is one of my favorite things about Malik Nabers. He was constantly making moves, both at the start of his route and at the stem of his route, always to try to get, you know, that little bit of extra separation. You know, we see a lot of wide receivers coming out that need to make some work on that. They just kind of use their speed at the college level to get open. I felt that Malik Nabers didn't solely rely on his speed. And just every play when I was looking for it, he was making moves. Now, he didn't do so much against, you know, when he was playing off coverage, but you don't really need to make a move at the line of scrimmage when you're facing off coverage. He always seemed to manage to get yards after the catch. You know, he always managed to find a way to either get open, or if he was being tackled to the catch, he always managed to find a way to fall forward or just gain a little bit, a couple extra yards. like he played physical with the ball in his hands. He has that next gear that you see when he gets the ball and he's got open space in front of him. He can just take off. And I felt they had quick acceleration to go along with the, like I said earlier about the moves he makes. I felt that he has a nice variety of moves that he makes at the line of scrimmage. He's got, you know, he's got a little like jog in place move. He's got a stutter step move, shoulder dip. I've seen a lot of different moves from him at the line of scrimmage to get separation from defenders when he is facing press coverage. He's always making people miss in space. I saw that, you know, in a couple different games. That's essentially what I think separates him from Marvin Harrison Jr., is that I felt when I was watching Malik Nabers, he always managed to gain yards after the catch in whatever situation it was in, whereas Marvin Harrison Jr., I felt like a lot of the times he was catching the ball and essentially being tackled at the catch point or going down and not really doing a whole lot after the catch. Now, Marvin Harrison Jr. is being double teamed a lot, so it's hard to get a lot after the catch when you've got two guys on you. That being said, Malik Nabers did see some double teams himself, and again, I just felt I always managed to see him get yards after the catch. A bit more explosive, I felt like, when I was watching him. Some of the things that I didn't like on his tape, he was a little bit inconsistent at the catch point. Sometimes he was really good, sometimes he was, you know, not so good, and you wish he could have held on through contact or fought a little bit more. He did have some poor adjustments to bad throws. It's hard to tell whether this was entirely up to, you know, just based off of him or if his quarterback, you know, kind of let him down a little bit. He does need to improve his routes a little bit. He gets kind of lazy when he's facing off coverage. He doesn't always sink his hips when he's making moves because he has that extra cushion, which, you know, when you're not, if you don't run your routes properly, it'll give up that extra cushion that you have. And just some of the touchdowns that he made at the college level were college level touchdowns and not NFL level touchdowns. You know, you have to get both feet inbounds with control. There's a couple times where he was barely, you know, lucky to get 1 foot down inbounds and score a touchdown. So he does need to become a little bit more aware as far as the sidelines. He was forced out of bounds a couple of times when I was watching him through in the course of the 2023 season. So it was just weird. I felt like he was one of those guys that played more physical after he had the ball in his hands and kind of, you know, on his route or, you know, at the catch point. Sometimes he wasn't as physical as he is once he's got the ball. It was a little bit of a weird thing, but I liked most of what I saw. Pretty much every game, he was making guys miss. He was gaining yards after the catch. He's got great field vision. And I think that he is fit to be a number one wide receiver in the NFL. Again, if you were to ask me, you know, if we're comparing, you know, going to go through all these guys today that are kind of a similar build, but if you were asking me of these group of guys like an NFL comp, I honestly see Malik Nabers' NFL comp being something like Ja'Marr Chase, where he's got, you know, a lot of explosive plays for a lot of yards, where he can beat defenders, you know, by getting behind them or just catching the ball, you know, short and taking it to the house, you know, with his yards after the catch ability. I think he's just got a very high ceiling. He might be a little bit less refined at the moment than Marvin Harrison Jr., but that just makes me more optimistic for him because he still has more room to grow and, you know, a few more things, you know, if he's got a few more things to work on, it's, you know, a little bit more growth that he can do at the NFL versus somebody who's fully polished and maybe has already hit their ceiling. But Malik Nabers, at the moment, I have as my wide receiver 2 in the class, and I think he's going to be a solid pick for whichever NFL team selects him. You know, rumors are right now that it's looking, if the Cardinals go with Marvin Harrison Jr. at 4, it's looking like the Chargers might take him at 5. He could also go to the Giants at 6. Not too thrilled about the possibility of him landing with the Giants. I honestly hope that he would go to another, a little bit of a more high-powered team, but when you're one of the, you know, best wide receivers in the class, you're going to end up getting taken by a team that tends to, you know, have a little bit less talent on the roster just due to the way the draft works. Whereas, you know, not every top-end wide receiver can get drafted to, you know, the Arizona Cardinals where they've got Kyler Murray and really nobody else to compete for targets with them, but Depending on where Malik Nabers go, might affect, you know, his draft stock a little bit. Again, I imagine that he is typically the wide receiver 2 for most people. Some even have as the number 1 above Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't know how much the draft stock could truly hurt him. I think the furthest he could fall would be maybe behind Romo Dunze, and to the worst, to wide receiver 4 behind one of these other guys who might go a little bit later in the first round, but to a team that is a little bit better, like the Buffalo Bills, the Kansas City Chiefs, where they did draft a late round wide receiver, and Malik Nabers was to go to the Giants, there's a possibility that wide receiver might overtake him a little bit in dynasty or redraft leagues, or most probably redraft leagues. But Malik Nabers is my wide receiver too. I'm really confident. I'm really excited to see him going forward. And I think, again, this wide receiver class is just heads and shoulder above the wide receivers from last year. And I think Malik Nabers is hands down better than any of the wide receivers that went in round one or round two of last year's class. Moving on from Malik Nabers, we are going to take a look at the next guy on our list. A guy who is one of the smaller guys in this group, but is extremely explosive. Talking, of course, about Texas wide receiver Xavier Worthy, who set a new NFL record at the Combine, where he ran for a 4.21 40 time. Again, that is the new fastest 40 time in NFL draft history, beating out previous record holder John Ross. 1.49 10-yard split. Problem with Xavier Worthy is that he came in a little bit small. He is just a little over 5'11", came in weighing 165 pounds, 31-inch arms, 74-inch wingspan, 8¾-inch hands. He also put up a 41-inch vertical jump and a 10-foot-11-inch broad jump. Extremely explosive, extremely fast, and that's not all he has to offer. We know when I went through and watched the tape, again, just like with Malik Nabers, went through and watched pretty much every game for Xavier Worthy from the 2023 season. You can see his speed on tape. You can see the burst. He plays physical even for a smaller guy. Now, that's not to say that, you know, he gets a whole lot out of the physicality. He doesn't break a whole lot of tackles or run through a whole lot of guys. But he is a physical player. He is willing to take on a defender. He is a willing blocker. He's got good field vision. He's another one of these guys that, again, he's not just getting open with speed. He makes moves a lot at the line of scrimmage and at the top of his route to gain additional separation. Another guy that has got great hands. You always seen him pluck the ball out of the air with his hands. Not really a body catcher. He does struggle, obviously, with his size. He struggles a little bit through contact at the catch point and hanging on through, you know, contested catches. As I said, he doesn't break many tackles, and he's not as elusive after the catch as you would think for somebody who's as fast as that. He does use his speed to get away from players a lot. He just isn't, as far as from what I saw, he wasn't too shifty. I didn't see a whole lot of, like, cuts and, you know, gliding past people in open space. I felt it was more, you know, he was blowing past people and getting the ball, or he was getting open in space, getting the ball, and then he's usually a guy that is going down at first contact. Again, this has more to do with his size. He's still a great NFL wide receiver. I don't know that he's got wide receiver one material, but essentially my comp for Xavier Worthy, if we were looking at NFL comparisons, I would compare him to somebody like Tyler Lockett, who's, you know, had some decent seasons where he's finished as, you know, a top 15 fantasy wide receiver. He's had some 1,000-yard seasons. He essentially almost operated as a wide receiver one, but with another player there also operating as a wide receiver one. I think that would be the best situation for Xavier Worthy if he went to a team that had another wide receiver that could operate as the main wide receiver, and he could essentially end up being, you know, the number two wide receiver on his team, but one of those number two wide receivers that still manages to put up over 1,000 yards. He's just fast. He is fast. He is explosive. I expect him to go, if not in the late first round, in the early second round in the NFL draft. And again, I think that he is for an NFL team's purposes, he's best suited as a wide receiver too. But I think for fantasy purpose, he could have several wide receiver one seasons, depending on, you know, what sort of system he goes to, what team he goes to, and who else he has around him. Again, I think he operates better as a wide receiver too, but a very high upside wide receiver too. Next guy we're going to be talking about here is going to be Georgia's Ladd McConkey. Another one of these guys that is really fast, a little bit undersized, coming in at 5'11 and just a little over 5'11 and a half, weighed in at 186 pounds at the NFL Combine. Ran a 4.39 with a 1.52 10-yard split, 36-inch yard vertical jump, and 10-foot-4-inch broad jump. A little bit lower compared to the other two guys we had talked about, but that's why we have him third in the pecking order here among these wide receivers. I like Ladd McConkey when I was watching his tape. One of the things that I will say right off the bat that you notice is that he is a high-effort player. Every time that ball is snapped, he is taking off. Now, this is a compliment and somewhat of a concern that I have. It really looks like he's putting everything he has into the route that he is running, which is a great thing that you want to see that effort from a player. But when he's putting in all that effort and he's still not, you know, it still doesn't look elite out there. Like, he's not getting elite separation. He's not running with elite speed. And he's putting all that effort in. That's the only part that concerns me a little bit. But I always want a guy on the team who's trying his hardest every play, who's always managed to get open. He's a reliable pass catcher. Again, another one of these guys. This is a constant theme throughout the guys this year. We don't see a whole lot of body catchers like we did with some of the players that we had last year. All these guys are really good hands catchers. Thought Ladd McConkey had really good hands. You know, both in general catching with his hands and maintaining, you know, through contact. I think that he's got a really great routes. He's a really good route runner. That did stand out to me on tape. I felt like he was one of those guys where every time I was watching him, he was just always managing to keep his hips low as he was making his moves. And he's just one of the guys where his, you know, his 40 time matches up with the play speed that you see on film. He's constantly moving fast out there. He's very smooth in his transitions. He doesn't take any shortcuts. He doesn't round his routes or anything. He's got, you know, sharp cuts. And again, he's able to do that smoothly because he's able to get his hips down, which some of the other guys earlier, like Malik Nabers, needs to work on that a little bit. As I said, he doesn't do that so much when he's facing off coverage, and whereas I felt Ladd McConkey was doing this all the time. He's great against man and zone. Always managed to find, you know, the soft spot in zone. He's a decent blocker. He's a willing, you know, NFL blocker. He's not like some of these other wide receivers that you see that just kind of move out there and stand in the way of NFL defenders, hoping that that'll be enough. He is an actually engaged blocker. And again, I just thought he was another one of these guys where, kind of like Malik Nabers, where he's very shifty after the catch with the ball in his hands. He's got great field vision. He knows where to go. He, you know, there's a, you know, even some plays where he catches a ball and he knows that based off where the cornerback is and where the rest of the coverage is, that if he just, you know, if he makes a quick spin move to turn back around, he's going to get an extra 10, 15 yards because there's not going to be anybody over there who can defend him. Really high intelligence, football intelligence. And the only downsides to Ladd McConkey, again, really are his size. I think he'll be limited to a slot receiver role at the NFL level, kind of like Xavier Worthy, whereas I think Malik Nabers can shift into an outside receiver role, even though he played mostly slot at LSU in college. I think Xavier, you know, Malik Nabers can play on the outside or the inside. I think Ladd McConkey will be playing mostly on the inside at the NFL level. And for a wide receiver comp for him, my wide receiver comp was Tyler Boyd, which I find to be high praise, even if some people might not see it this way. Tyler Boyd, you know, he is one of those receivers, you know, he's operates best as a wide receiver too, but during that time frame before they had Ja'Marr Chase and when T. Higgins, you know, he did manage to operate as a wide receiver one. He had 2,000-yard seasons back-to-back, consistently good for around, you know, 800 yards, 50-some catches. Just a solid NFL wide receiver who not only is good for NFL level, but also useful for your fantasy team. Tyler Boyd is one of those reliable, you know, wide receiver twos to flex plays, you know, as he got later in his career, moved more into the flex role. But and once they had, you know, T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase there. But I think that's a very solid comp for Ladd McConkey. Is he could be a Tyler Boyd type player where he's just consistently getting somewhere from 800 to 1,000 yards each season, operating as a team's wide receiver two in the slot. Now we're going to move down to some lesser-known guys a little bit. We're going to start off with wide receiver Malachi Corley, coming out of Western Kentucky. Measured in at 5'11", weighed in at 215 pounds, so a little bit heavier than the other guys who were of similar height in this draft. Again, these guys are the smallest, essentially the smallest guys in this draft, and they're essentially as big as, you know, Jordan Addison, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and the other guys who went in the first round last season. Malachi Corley had 32 1/8 inch arm length, 9 1/4 inch hand size, ran a 4.45 at his pro day, didn't do that testing at the NFL Combine, also had a 4.26 in the 20-yard shuttle. That's all of the testing numbers that we really have for Malachi Corley. Malachi Corley, I think, is another one of these guys who is destined to be in the slot role. He's not as refined as a route runner as Ladd McConkey or Xavier Worthy or Malik Nabers, obviously. Honestly thought that he needed to work on his routes a bit. He tends to round off the cuts on his routes. He needs to get his hips a little bit lower. And there are some times where I just... It almost made me laugh when I was watching his tape. There were a couple plays where he just... I guess he forgot that he's running a route as a wide receiver, and he essentially just... He trucks a defender just like 10, 15 yards downfield. He just gets this idea in his head where, I'm just going to lower my shoulder. I'm just going to run through this dude in front of me. And I laugh because that's a penalty at the NFL level. You can't just, you know, plow into a defender, you know, 10, 15 yards downfield. I don't really know what was going through his mind during these plays because these were not run plays. These were pass plays where he was running supposed to be running a route, and he just decided that he was just going to take somebody out instead. So... A little bit odd, a little bit funny, something that hopefully he doesn't do at the NFL level because he'll get some flags for it. Some of the positives for him, he does play tough. As I said, I mean, he's willing to truck defenders down the field when he's running his routes, but also after he has the ball in his hands, he's always, you know, fighting for extra yardage. He will lay a hit on a guy. He doesn't always just try to avoid people. He plays fast. You do see he does have some speed and some decent burst when you watch him on tape. Again, it's just really hard because he doesn't get a whole lot of separation due to some of the other, you know, things with his route, the, you know, not dropping his hips and rounding off the cuts a little bit. He's, again, this is one of those guys where he's more physical with the ball in his hand after the catch than he is when he's trying to make the catch. So there was some contested catch stuff where I felt like he could have maybe played a little bit better, a little bit stronger. He has some trouble adjusting to bad throws, which, you know, is something that at the NFL level, you're not always going to have a top-end quarterback throwing to you, so you're going to have to get used to adjusting to bad throws. Basically, I don't see as high as a upside for Malachi Corley as I had with some of these other guys. If I was to give him an NFL comp, honestly, I think of this entire group of six wide receivers that we're going to go through in today's episode, he was my least favorite of the six. I have his comparison to somebody essentially like a Mecole Hardman, where he will pop up here and there with some big games, some big plays, but not going to be a consistently reliable NFL or fantasy wide receiver for that point, or for that matter. We're going to look next at Jermaine Burton out of Alabama. A little bit bigger of the smaller guys that we're talking about, actually came in a little bit over 6 foot, weighed in 196 pounds. He has a 31-inch arm length, almost 75-inch wingspan, and 9 3/4-inch hand size. Ran a 4.45 at the NFL Combine, 1.53 10-yard split. He had a 38.5-inch vertical jump, 11 feet and 1 inches on the broad jump. I believe that was second best among wide receivers at the NFL Combine as far as the broad jump goes. Watching the tape, I thought he was a decent player. You know, I thought that his routes were pretty decent. I thought he was, you know, his football IQ was all right. Basically, my takeaway from Jermaine Burton was there was nothing elite, but everything was okay or above okay. Again, nothing elite, not elite speed, not elite versus man or zone coverage, but still really good, above average. He catches with his hands. He's got good start and go ability. He gets up to speed quickly. He didn't face a whole lot of press coverage, but when he did face press coverage, I felt like he did make moves to help get separation. He does make moves at the top of his route to get separation as well. When facing press coverage, he will face that, you know, with some physicality. However, you know, as far as blocking goes, I felt that he was a little lackadaisical on some of the run plays that I saw him on, where he wasn't really even making an effort to get to the guy that he needed to block. He kind of did, like, you know, he would kind of walk out and just kind of hope to stand in the guy's way. Even sometimes when he did get out and engage them, he again just kind of got out there and stuck his hands out in front of them and didn't really do a whole lot of actual blocking, so it needs a little bit more effort on the run plays. He does this weird little jump thing every time he's going to catch the ball. He seems like a lot of times when he's going to make a catch that he does like a weird little jump to get off the ground. I don't know if this is necessarily a negative. This was something that on our show before we had talked about with Garrett Wilson when we were watching him do the gauntlet drill at the combine last year, or I'm sorry, 2 years ago. We noticed that he would always do this little leap right before he caught the ball in the gauntlet drill, and he said it was essentially to help him reposition and redirect for running after the catch. It didn't seem like that so much with Jermaine Burton. It just seemed to be more of a comfort thing for him where he just liked to jump to catch that ball. I'm not sure why. He didn't really need the extra height a lot of the time, I felt like. But overall, I felt like he came away as a solid prospect. I don't know how fantasy relevant he'll be at the NFL level. Basically, the comp that I took away from him is I felt he'd be somebody like a Curtis Samuel level player, where kind of peaks out around, 800 or so yards, might have a couple of games, a stretch of games here and there where, he's really good, really effective, will get open for some touchdowns. But I don't know, that he has that high of a ceiling, and I don't know how relevant he will actually be for fantasy purposes. Could see him going in the late second round or third round of the NFL draft, again, depending on how things fall out. I thought he was a solid wide receiver. I liked his tape better than Malachi Corley's, but again, nothing really stood out as elite to me with Jermaine Burton. Now, the final guy we're going to talk about on here did have some things that stood out to me, and that is wide receiver Roman Wilson, coming out of Michigan, former Jim Harbaugh wide receiver, came in a little bit smaller compared to the other guys, 5'10" 3/4", 185 pounds, 30-inch arm length, 72.5-inch wingspan, a little bit over 9-inch hands. He also ran a 4.39 at the NFL Combine with a 1.52 10-yard split. Didn't do any other testing at the NFL Combine, though. However, when you watched him and you watched the tape, it was evident on the tape that he was fast and that he's got speed, he's got good burst, and he isn't just a one-trick pony. He doesn't just get open with his speed. This was a guy who, again, when I was watching his tape, I felt like he was making a lot of moves whenever he faced press coverage, and at the top of his route, he was always making moves to get open and get that little bit extra separation. He is a little bit older. He's coming. He will start the season over 23 years old. But where we're talking about with Roman Wilson, Jermaine Burton, and Malachi Corley going, the age isn't as huge of a concern for me with those guys being, the level of skill that they're at and where you're looking at taking them in the NFL draft. I think that Roman Wilson, of all these wide receivers, I've been comparing them to players here and there. I thought he was the most explosive. I thought he was the shiftiest and most elusive. I thought that he ran good routes. He's a willing blocker and an engaging blocker. He actually goes out there, despite his small size, he'll actually go out there and put some effort into the blocks that he makes and actually engage the defender, try to push them off. Because of his size, though, when he faces jams at the line of scrimmage, I've noticed a couple of times that he did tend to get rerouted on those. There were a few times where he seemed to get lost a little bit in zone coverage and kind of ran an odd route pattern where he just almost ran into one of his players or the defenders, so he needs to clean that up a little bit. But I felt of these, I liked Roman Wilson a lot more than I liked Malachi Corley or Jermaine Burton, and essentially if I was comping him to a player, I was looking at somebody more like a Cole Beasley type of player where, a consistent slot player where he's never going to be able to carry the team, he's not going to be the wide receiver one for a team or anything like that. But he could be a solid number two who just always, every game you watch, you're just like, how is this guy getting open? How is he good for, somewhere from 3 to 6 catches a game for, anywhere from, 30 to 70 yards, because as an Eagles fan, we would watch Cole Beasley and he would just kill us every time we would play him. Just a small guy who would get lost in space, has enough speed and burst to get open and get lost among the defenders. And that's essentially what I see Roman Wilson as. He's not going to break a whole lot of tackles after the catch. He's not, some crazy, elusive guy with the ball in his hands, but he is fast. He does have burst. He's always managing to find a way to get open, both against man and zone coverage. And I think that he could be a solid contributor to an NFL team and even settle in somewhere around a wide receiver 3 or flex role for fantasy purposes. So that is going to be everything today for this episode. Again, this is part one. Probably going to do three parts on the upcoming NFL rookie wide receivers, do a two-parter for the running backs, and then probably one episode to discuss the quarterbacks and tight ends, because for fantasy purposes, that's going to be a small group of players. But thanks for joining us. I'm sorry if the show is a little, you know, a little off or a little rusty. It's first time in a while, just getting back into the swing of things, but hopefully the next show will go a little bit better. We'll try to get these out a little bit earlier. I know this got a little bit of a late release today, you know, being released this late in the evening, but moving forward, we're going to try to get these episodes out earlier in the day so that you can get it all in prior to the upcoming NFL draft. Until next time, I am Ryan McNichols. Be sure to follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your audio podcast, and we will catch you on the next one.